Well, a good Thursday afternoon and welcome to Sports Look here on Care Radio, brought to you by our Sports Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Gus Counts with me, Tom Counts, and we take a look ahead at our Care Radio sports schedule. And Gus, man, now you're talking, okay? It is that surge before the holiday hiatus where we're going to have games, what, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the next 9 days.
Yeah, and don't worry, Roger Goodell's going to fill in your other 2 days.
Roger will take care of me over next Sunday and Monday. Here we go. Tomorrow night, it will be the Atchison Phoenix. They're going to be at home with the Cardinal of Eudora. So here on K-Radio, we've got AHS Friday night. Saturday, the Benedictine Ravens are going to be at home. We'll be up in the Nolan with them. It'll be Benedictine and Culver Stockton. John Shield making the trip. Next Tuesday, Atchison and Harmon. Here on Care. Wednesday, it'll be Benedictine in Parkville at Park University. And a week from tonight, it'll be JC and Troy. We'll go further in that. There are more games coming up, but we'll get you a week at a time here. Pretty hectic stuff. Pretty fantastic sports schedule. Looking forward to bringing you a lot of games. And because speaking of a lot of games, we've already had a pretty hectic week, you know, here in the early going this week, going up to MHMA and had a conference rivalry, longtime rivalry, and Jefferson County North traveled up to Morehill Mount Academy. And I got to tell you a funny story. Jim Brickell was there. Haven't seen Jim in a couple of years. He was long time head coach for Jefferson County North boys. And so I go up and visit with him. He looks well, doing well. And I asked him, I said, hey, what brings you? I haven't seen you in a game, you know, for a while. What brings you, you know, here tonight? He said, how often do you get a chance to go to a game where all four coaches are guys you coached when they played high school?
There you go.
how about that?
Yeah, no.
So that was pretty outstanding.
Yeah, that sounds spot on. And, yeah, so you got to do that game earlier this week. Yeah. And for Morehill Mount Academy, they pulled out the brooms.
They did. It was a big day, you know, up at Haverty Gym.
Yeah, so in the first game of the night, you saw Morehill Mount Academy get out to a lead early, win 42-28 against Jefferson County North. Morehill Mount Academy, you know, getting what, right? Their first win of the season and, you know, starting to put together that resume a little bit. And you say that two games in, but again, over the next 10 days, 2 weeks, we're really going to fast forward through that first third of the season.
Yeah, and we should talk about that because you always break it into your thirds, and we're rapidly approaching the end of third number one, and hard to believe that we're that far along already.
Yeah, I mean, and you're sitting there looking at the basketball broadcast schedule that we have. I mean, and, you know, we're right there at about a third of the season is through. So you break it down that it goes to Christmas break, and then from Christmas break to what I call those mid-season tournaments. And then from midseason tournaments on to the end of the season. And right now, these teams, it's early on. They're trying to figure out their way. They're trying to figure out, you know, the players they're going to play, the rotations they're going to get in. And really, the coaches are just starting to firm up what they want to do with these teams, right? Because every year you go, all right, I got an idea of this. And then maybe said player gets injured, player doesn't come out. Maybe another player really improved over the summer. And so you spend that first little bit of the season trying to put all your pieces and parts in place.
And so, and you get into the second part. This is when you hope that they, you know, the ones that are fitting in. You hope that somebody gets healthier. And I know there are a lot of teams who've, you know, who've got good players, starting caliber players, who are, you know, on the mend a little bit. And everybody, you know, it's like if something happens and you got a player that gets injured in the summer or in the fall or whatever, and you say, when are you going to have them back? We're hoping by Christmas.
It's always by the first Christmas of the year. Break. Yeah, you know. Taking a look at some of the games that happened earlier this week, we talked about it on the ladies' side. Morehill Mount Academy knocks off JCN 42-28. It was the Riverside ladies winning over Donovan West 36-33. You had Valley Falls beating Horton 41-34. In guys' action earlier this week, Morehill Mount Academy, how crazy was that game, coming away with a one-point victory over JCN 42-41?
And that last winning shot went in 1.6 on the clock. So it was, they trailed by one, took it down the court, got the play they wanted, hit the shot. That, you know, you work on that, but really, how often does that happen? How often does it actually work?
Yeah, I mean, that's
one in five?
Yeah, it's, you know, and that's the thing about basketball, too. It's kind of like the whole baseball thing of, you know, you don't convert all the time, but when you do, you remember it. Another game on the guys' side was Valley Falls Boys over Horton, 47-39. Handful of games coming up this week, and taking a look at it, you've got Jackson Heights at Pleasant Ridge. Oskaloosa is going to be at Moore Hill Mount Academy on Friday night. You're going to have Nemaw Central at Holton, Hiawatha at Centralia. Marysville going to travel to Clay Center. So, some good games coming up and down on this schedule. And, again, Eudora will be at Atchison. We talked about that a little bit ago. So.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. Coming back, we got Benedictine basketball to talk about. Ravens been very busy and you're going to be very busy. We'll return. More Sports Look right after this. Back with you here on Sports Look on CARE Radio as we shift our focus from the high schools to the colleges and the Benedictine Lady Ravens. Gus, you mentioned it. We talked about it just very briefly at the onset of the program. It was a nice win for them Tuesday night as they came out of the blocks fast and did a very, very good job knocking off Graceland 76-39. And by the way, it was the first of kind of a doubleheader, a two-part toy drive week for Benedictine. Tuesday's game and also Saturday's game that we'll be at here on CARE. You come up to the Nolan and you can bring a toy for admission and they are collecting for people in need around the area. So kind of a cool thing. So that's a two-time thing. It was Tuesday. It will also be on Saturday.
Yeah, and we talked about last time we were here on Sports Look a week ago, right? We were talking about the upcoming schedule for the Lady Ravens, and it was games against Penn, Graceland, Culver, and Park, right? Just kind of fast forward through the next 7 days. And I think of the four games, you figured they would probably go 4-0, 3-1, something like that. They struggled against William Penn, but again, that was one of those things where William Penn just shot lights out. And when you run into a team like that, they're just really hard to beat.
Yeah, it was just crazy. Whatever kind of wacky shot Penn threw up at home on Saturday, it just went in, and man, that puts you really in a spot.
But then you came back, you bounced back, you played a Graceland team who, let's admit it, is probably a Graceland team, right? Yeah. And you did what you were supposed to do, right? You come away with a 76-39 victory in that thing. You walk away and you're feeling really good about how some of your players played. I mean, you had Josie Weiser with 15 points in that thing. Jennifer Jacobs with 14. Aaliyah Raines added 13. You had Kiana Herrera coming off the bench. She added 9 points, so again, getting a little bit of that bench scoring and some of those things to add up, and it was a good night for your team.
Yeah, for Benedictine, anytime you know you start shooting the ball a little bit better. Again, they're not shooting it really very well from the outside yet. They hit about half of their shots overall from the field, a little over 49%, but 28% from outside. They are better than that, and 10 of 13 at the free throw line, that's the number that you can live with, you know, 76-77% there. So shooting a little better maybe than they did last Saturday, and all of that stuff is gonna come around. And you look at this Lady Raven team, what I see in it, Gus, is a really good problem. If you're going to have a problem, you should have a good problem. And for Coach Folsom, the good problem is you got a lot of players to get in the game. I mean, he is very deep, and he is still playing, you know, like 14 players a night, and I think still probably some evaluation going on.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. You brought in some new players, and you're trying to figure out exactly how they fit and how you want to use them is the best way. Because, again, you go out and you recruit these players, and you're trying to decide, okay, I know they'll fit into my program. How do I want to use them? Because maybe in high school they were always a four, but they come to college, and you're saying, well, they're a pretty decent ball handler. I can move them to a two. I can play them at the three. So you know, I think sometimes it takes a little bit of that. It also takes a little bit of, okay, I already have this position. That player could play somewhere else. And so just trying to fit everybody in, make everything work.
You notice they never go, you never go down, you go up. You never go from a 3 to a 4 or 5. You go from a 3, you know, maybe to a 1 or 2, just because that's how that shift works.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and so...
Games, a lot of games going on or have gone on, of course, on Wednesday night. It was a great game. Missouri Valley and Park, a one-point Park win. Evangel winning only by 5 over Mid-America. Culver defeated William Penn, and a 6-point Mount Mercy win over Peru State. So there were some very, very close games on Wednesday night, last night in the conference. Coming up Saturday, Clark will go to Missouri Valley, Mount Mercy at Evangel. Of course, you will have that Culver-Stockton-Benedictine game here on Care Radio. Baker at Peru. All of those 12 o'clock starts for the ladies' games. The 2 o'clock women's games, Grandview at Park, Central Methodist at Penn, and Mid-America at Graceland. All of those probably, what, 2 to 2.5 or 3 hour tops kind of trips.
Yeah, not any awful trips. Taking a look at the conference standing on the ladies' side. Yep. I'm just looking up and down, and I'm like, are there any surprises? And you can't really say surprises yet because you're only 4 games into the conference schedule right now, but you can start looking at overall records. And I think one of the teams that I'm a little surprised with right now is Mount Mercy. They're 2-2, but they're 6-3 overall. They still find themselves towards the top of the conference. They're a team that has been down. The team that always scares me is Missouri Valley because, again, Ben Lister now in his second year, he's a coach that knows a lot of things.
He's got a lot of things.
He's got that team at 2-2 and 6-4. But right now, Central Methodist, 8-0, 4-0, no shock there.
Culver's a team that I'm just jumping off the page at me, man.
Yeah, Jeanette Bruggen has that team playing really well. They are 9-1 overall. They're 4-0 in the conference. Grandview, under a new head coach, they're 7-2 and 3-1. Then you have Clark, Mount Mercy, Missouri Valley, Mid-America, Benedictine, William Penn, Evangel, all at 2-2. The bottom of the conference, you'll find Baker and Park and Graceland, all with one win. Peru State, still trying to figure that out.
So what you're telling me is that your statistics instructor at the college would say this is a beautiful bell curve, right?
Exactly. You know,
it's pretty nice. Pretty good.
You got one undefeated or 2 undefeated teams. You got a couple one-win teams and a lot of them right there in the middle with the 2 wins in the conference. Okay, throw it out there. Central Methodist right now, they are 4-0. And they're the only team right now I'm going to put stock in that has a shot of going undefeated in the conference. I just don't think it happens, right? I still think that you can get out of this conference. And honestly, with the number of losses already for a lot of these teams at 2, I think you can still win this conference with 4 losses in the conference.
Okay, let me tell you where I really pull out of stock in Central Methodist. We've had 4 polls this year already because we talked about it about a third through. So there's a month in, 4 weeks, 4 polls, 4 conference players of the week. The last 3 have been Central Methodist players.
Yeah, I was going to say that's where you have to stop and look.
Okay,
and
go, different players, not even the same player.
Yeah. Last week it was Antoria Cook. Cook coming off a week where she averaged 22.5 points, 6 steals, that's ridiculous, and still pulled down 5 rebounds a game.
Yeah, and then you got Liana Massenat the week before averaging 26 points and 10 rebounds a game. And the week before, Darnia Bachkarova, 22 points, 8 rebounds. I mean, they're so loaded up.
Yeah, and Bachkarova is, like, legit.
Yep,
I know.
6 foot, what, 4'5", maybe?
Yeah,
something like that.
She's the deal. So, you know, I think the girls' side is going to be kind of muddy all the way to the end, and I think that's why it's going to be a lot of fun. I don't think that one team just runs away with that.
Well, you've got more sports coming up. Taking a break. We'll be right back here on Care. Back with you here on Sports Look on Care Radio as we shift from women's college basketball to men's college basketball, and I tell you, Gus, BC's guys, just a tough outing here the other night. They're playing so well, they're battling hard, and Coach Moody, he's working to get this new group and you know, a lot of new players. Again, anytime you graduate seven seniors, you're gonna have to fill some spots, right? And so for Benedictine, I think a little early season growing pains. They fell to Grayson, even though they trailed for a good part of the game. They were battling back, and came up unable to score in that last possession, losing only by two. But in that game, here's one of those freshmen stepping up. You've got point guard Sam Ungashik. You don't look at a point guard to score a lot of points. Well, Sam did score a lot of points, 25 in that one Tuesday.
You know, you start looking up and down this Benedictine schedule, and, you know, they lose to Bethel by 8. They lose to McPherson by, 4? You lose by 7 at Briarcliff. Baker was the only game where you look at it and you say, but they were in that game for a while. They ended up losing that thing by 15. You were at Penn, and you had Penn on the ropes at the end, but then some free throws late in the game makes that an 8-point game. You lose to Graceland by, 2? I mean, you are right there needing the ball to fall your way most nights. And you start looking up and down at these scores. These are the kind of games that Coach Moody wants to play. Okay, so you lose to Missouri Western by 5. You give up 72 points. You give up 73 to a really good Southwestern team. 67, 72, 74, 68, 75, 61. You haven't given up 80 points yet this season.
No.
Again, I mean, and that's ridiculous in men's college basketball.
Right. And again, that's one of the things that Coach Moody stresses. He loves his defense. He wants to play tough defense. And Gus, as I look at the Benedictine box from the other night, there's a lesson I think to be learned for some of the young players, because, you know, you go out there and you cannot find yourself easily and quickly discouraged. There are some nights you go out, we talked about it in the ladies game, when you can't miss. There are also some nights when they just won't fall. But what do you have to do? Shoot or shoot, right?
Yep.
And that's it. You've got a guy like Braden Belt. Braden is He arguably the best shooter on the team. Just had one of those nights. 3 of 12, 0 of 6 from 3, ends up in 32 minutes with 6 points. He could have easily turned that thing around and had 30 points in 32 minutes, you know, with that many shots and the kind of shooter that he is.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just the thing. You're going to have to get some of those shots to fall. And as shooters, every shooter will tell you, there are nights. And I say nights. Typically, it's like a week, right? You have like a three-game skid where maybe they just don't fall. Then for the next 2 weeks, you just can't miss a shot, right?
Yeah, but what you don't want it to be is a month.
Yes, and that's the problem. So for the Ravens, again, you're in all of these games. You haven't given up 80 points in a single game yet, and you've played some really good offenses, including that William Penn team who – would you say they were like almost 90 points a game or a little over 90 points,
mm-hmm.
You know, and so you held that team at their place to 75. And can I tell you, John Henry walked into the locker room after that game and probably let out a big sigh of relief, because that thing was probably a little too close for comfort for him.
Now, and with these close games, every point is so crucially important. And I've got a complaint. I don't like the vent, but I'm just going to hear. So far this season, I guess it's less a complaint than more an observation and maybe a head-scratching problem. I am seeing teams that just can't hit the free throws. That has been, I think, a problem that I have seen so much this year. And you look at that BC game the other night. Ravens, 7 of 11. Okay, 63%. Not gosh awful, but not you shoot for what, 75, right? You're shooting for your three quarters or better. But you look up above, and Graceland is 10 of 20, okay? This is a college basketball team that is struggling to hit half of their free throws. I mean, do they not work on them in practice? Do kids want to shoot the three too much? Or again, is it just when, you know, has it just been that thing that they won't fall down?
14 teams in the conference, right?
Huh?
Benedictine men are what number in the conference when it comes to free throw percentage?
I would hope, you know, out of 14, I would hope they're in the upper quarters.
Right?
So I'm hoping,
yeah,
four.
That's where you're looking.
Uh-huh.
Right now, Benedictine is 10th.
Okay.
You know, you're hitting 66% of your free throws on the season. And what's the number you like to hit?
75 is usually the benchmark that most coaches will throw out.
Okay. Let's talk about, maybe that's just where basketball is going right now, is you're leaving a lot of points on the board. There are three teams in the conference that shoot over 75% or above.
Okay, and are they at the top of the conference then? Is that a correlation that we can draw?
Not over.
Not really? Okay.
Mid-America leads the conference with 78%, right? Central Methodist is shooting 77% as a team, and Culver Stockton is shooting 76% as a team. So,
okay, who's got the lowest number? I mean, what? They're all in the, at least, you know, middle 60s then, right?
Yeah. I'll give you the bottom three. Okay. 14 is Peru State, hitting 63%. 13 is Mount Mercy, hitting 64%. And you're not going to overly be shocked about third from the bottom. Who's 12th?
Penn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Penn is hitting 64% of their shots from the free throw line. But, yeah, I mean, and they're not even hitting a huge number of their regular shots at 46% from the floor. But you know what Penn is doing? Penn has put up 727 shots this season, okay?
Of course they have.
727 field goal attempts in 10 games.
It goes back to shooters shoot. They have a team loaded up with guys who want to put the ball in a bucket, okay? And they are not going to be bashful about putting that up.
Okay, so they've attempted 727 shots on the season, right? Which is more than any team in the conference. In the same amount of games, Benedictine has attempted 570 shots, okay? So it shows you that Penn just wants to go full out, see what happens, let it fly. Benedictine is the lowest scoring team in the conference, which you would expect that right at 65.8 because they're playing a lot of defense. And what do we talk about? We talk about this all the time in football. You're limiting possessions, right? So you've got to hit on the ones you do get. Penn averaging 91.3, Peru State at 89, and then Baker at 87. So
the conference is good on the guys' side, okay, with three undefeated teams in the conference, and you have got some teams at the top. They're 9-1, 8-2, 8-1, 8-2, 8-2. I mean, those are pretty good teams from Evangel, Penn, Baker, Mid-America, Peru. And then there's rather a precipitous drop, you know, a three-game difference. And after that, you go to 5-3, 4-5, so forth, you know, with Central Methodist, Park Grayson, Culver, Benedictine, Valley, Clark, Grandview, and then Mount Mercy. You got three teams, Clark, Grandview, Mount Mercy, winless in the conference. Hard to believe that.
So something just, like, clicked for me, okay? You saw the light actually turn on.
I saw the flicker. I saw the flicker.
So you know how you talked to Coach Burkell the other day?
I did.
He said, how do I go to a game, you know, where I get to see four guys I coached? Do you ever look at the conference and think now with the changes at the top, right? Like, you know, all these coaches that have retired recently, okay? How many games can you go to where you're broadcasting guys that you broadcasted as they were players, okay?
Yeah, like Evangel?
You've got Evangel with Bert Capel. You've got Mid-America's coach. You've got Central Methodist with Matt Sherman. Uh-huh. I mean, like, there are a handful of these guys up and down.
Of course, Coach
Moody. Yeah. There are guys up and down. Coach Peer, that you're laughing that, you know, okay, I can look back and see. I remember how that person played. Okay, Tori Morello the other day at Baker. And that was one of those things that even I was able to say. Baker's ladies were taking on the style that Tori played when she was at Avila, right? So you having got to see a lot of these coaches as players, you can get a better feel of that's how they were. Now, Moody is the outlier and the exception because there's a guy who, you know, he might tell his guys he played stellar defense, but he was all about throwing it through the net.
He played defense.
He played defense better.
He scored.
Better than PG, but, you know, but he was also a scorer. I mean, like, his deal was, let's shoot more, you know? So, anyway, I think that's kind of funny. Evangel maybe is my throw my hands up. I didn't expect them to be 9-1 10 games in.
Right. And they were pretty good last year, but they have really made, you know, an incremental improvement
in
that team.
Dooley's team down there, Baker, 8-1, 3-0 in the conference. Mid-America, 3-1 overall, so or 3-1 in the conference. Right now, your bottom three teams, Clark, Grandview, and Mount.
And how about Peru State? There's a team that's really mystifies me. Not only are they 8-2, but doing it with an interim coach that was named, what, 10 days before the start of the season?
Yeah. The one team that I've scratched my head about this whole school's athletics over the last probably 10 years now is Missouri Valley, right? Coach Lance in his 20th season, I think. They're 2-7, 1-3, you know, and they've got a lot of talent, so I don't know what
they got
happening.
A lot of players. They've probably got 70, 80 right. players on the roster.
Right. Go to the rodeo team. See if you can find somebody that can shoot some buckets.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Sports Look continues here on Kent Radio right after this. Back with you here on KAIR-FM, Horton, Atchison, Gus Rapid Fire. Did you notice that pall over the central part of America after that game Sunday as the Kansas City Chiefs lose for the third time in a calendar year to the Cincinnati Bengals, 27-24, and having watched the majority of that game, I wasn't glued to it, but I saw a lot of it. You just had the vibe that team wasn't playing real well.
Yeah, the Chiefs didn't play well. I feel like every time they play the Bengals, they just kind of step down a little bit. And give hats off to Cincinnati. They don't make mistakes, right? That's where they beat you, because they don't make mistakes. For Kansas City, you had a few mistakes. You had some penalties. You had some things that mounted against you. The Kelce fumble at the end, the missed field goal. I mean, you can go through and say you can't play that middle-of-the-road game, right, that B-minus game. You can't play that against good teams, right? And the Chiefs have gotten away with that all year. They played, what, like a C game against the Rams at best and still beat them by 13? So they've got to understand that you've got to play better against teams. And I think the only thing that scares me about the remainder of the schedule is the Chiefs can get away with playing a C game every week, maybe other than the game against the Seahawks, and probably get away with it right now.
Well, that all said, Kansas City is no longer the number one seed in the AFC. They have fallen to number two, and they are going to have a chance to reload on the road again this week, this time out at Mile High Stadium. Chiefs at the Broncos on Sunday, 325 Kansas City, 9.5-point favorite in that one. That should be, you'd think that would be plenty. I don't know.
Yeah, I would think that's about right. Over under, though, at only 44, because the Broncos, A, don't score, and B, they don't give up a whole lot of points. Their defense is pretty good, so I don't think that's overly out of the realm. The bigger question on Sunday is, does Russ Wilson throw a touchdown pass?
That would be interesting.
Right? I mean, maybe. That's what everybody's keeping
probably not, up. But maybe.
So I was listening to an interview today out of KOA in Denver.
I love KOA.
Do you know Russ Wilson actually has an office?
Really?
He has an office in the building. So
okay.
They were laughing.
Any idea what he does in it?
They were laughing that, you know, the problem, maybe the disconnect between the offense and the defense right now, is the defensive players just don't know Russ, because he comes into the building, he goes to his office, and he's in there.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that maybe explains a lot with what's going on with
probably
the
right
team.
Now it's a good place for him to be hiding.
Yeah,
out.
I would too.
You're ready for some NFL tonight. You got a couple of old, storied teams. Used to be next-door neighbors. They're still pretty close to one another geographically. And yet, two teams that are not very good, the Raiders at the Rams tonight.
You're going to laugh at this. The Raiders are going to win tonight, okay?
Okay.
And the Raiders are going to end up somehow making the playoffs.
You think?
Yeah, because they just have they have the right angle to get into the playoffs, especially having beat the Chargers the other day. I think that, you know, a soft schedule here on out, they've got a shot to really get themselves to where they need to be. It's kind of like the Buccaneers, right? They're going to find a way into the playoffs, and it's going to drive everybody nuts. I wouldn't be shocked if somehow the Raiders make their way into that.
Well, the Raiders are they got an uphill struggle to get to 500. They're only 5-7, they're 5-7, and the Rams are a solid 3-9.
Yeah, and the Rams, it's so bad that they claimed Baker Mayfield on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And there's a chance that he's going to play tonight. I'm like, well. But they do. Everybody, or everything you've read on Baker Mayfield, says, like, he's super smart when it comes to you throw a playbook in front of him, he can figure it out. And so if that's the case, I wouldn't be shocked if he couldn't learn enough packages.
So it's like the McCaffrey thing. You know, you can teach him about the offense day one. He can go out
and
play.
You can go figure it out, right? Uh-huh. But and I think quarterback is a little harder than running back, because running back, you just say, hey, okay, we can figure out the blocking later. Uh-huh. You just need to understand that this run, you're going to get the hand here, and you're going to run to this vicinity.
Yeah.
Quarterback, like, you got to understand the trees. And they do say that Baker's, like, super smart when it comes to being able to memorize all that stuff.
How quick before Baker Mayfield has a new advertisement? You know, because they used to have him in the stadium. I always thought those were amusing.
I'm telling you.
Hey, other games going on of interest across the NFL this weekend. Jets and Bills. Hey, now we're talking.
Yeah, that should be a good game. And the Bills.
J-E-T-S.
And the Bills put Von Miller on the shelf for the rest of the year. He had exploratory surgery on that knee, and then they found the torn ACL that didn't show up in the MRI. So I don't understand how all that works. But, yeah, the Bills are going to be in trouble without him. The Jets are playing really good. I think this could be actually a really fun game. That's the one I'll be looking for on Sunday afternoon.
And then you got the Browns and the Bengals. You know, for about 40 years, they were so interchangeable.
Yeah.
You know, they were Browns, they were Bengals, they were Ohio, they were not very good. It was just, you know.
So how about this for a stat? I heard this morning and my head just exploded. Joe Burrow is 3-0 against Patrick Mahomes all time.
Correct.
Right? He is 3-0 in the last 12 months. Against Patrick Mahomes.
Again, correct.
Do you know that Joe Burrow has never beat the Browns?
That's great.
He is like 0-5 now against the Browns. I don't understand how that happens. The Bengals need that game to stay in playoff contention, so I think that Cincinnati wins, but it's crazy that he has not beat the Browns.
So that is a noon game on Sunday. You've got the Buccaneers at the 49ers. I feel like those two teams play each other every week, and I think that when those two teams play each other, I'm always disappointed that there are no points. I mean, I don't like a lot of offense. You know, I don't need 50 apiece, but, you know, give me double digits.
You need something, right?
Like, you don't get it here.
Did you see that California football team that's going to their 4A state championship game, like, this weekend? And they haven't attempted a pass all season. I laughed. I said, that's your kind of football.
Now you're talking.
But, yeah, Buccaneers, 49ers are two teams that you expect a lot of points. But even Vegas understands it. The over-under is 37.5.
Yeah.
I don't know. The game doesn't do a whole lot for me other than the Iowa State quarterback, Brock Purdy, is going to run the 49ers. How terrible of a year has it been for 49ers luck at the quarterback position, right? You lose Trey Lance early. Garoppolo breaks a foot last week. Brock Purdy comes in, and I'm telling you, that kid was feeling himself. For being Mr. Irrelevant in the draft, he was throwing guns
That's
up after he
thing.
Hit,
yeah.
after he threw touchdowns. He was having a good time.
If you like offense, you can flip that coin and don't watch the Buccaneers 49ers. Watch the Dolphins and Chargers. Now, it's going to take, what, 30 to win?
Yeah, that's why I think the over-under at 51.5, I'm like, neither one of these teams have great defenses, and those offenses are going to try to run up and down the floor, or up and down the field. I don't know. The Dolphins have been a juggernaut this year.
Patriots are going to be at the Cardinals Monday night.
Gross. Right? It just
I don't know what to say.
Like, it might as well be Big Ten football.
Yeah. Now, speaking of college basketball, really the one that jumps out, they won't do it on the gridiron. But they will do it in Columbia, University of Kansas, at the University of Missouri. College basketball Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Missouri right now still undefeated overall. Kansas, the number 6 team in the country. Everybody expects this to be a good game. I don't know. I mean, I think Missouri's okay. I think if Kansas has a shot, they're going to try to beat the brakes off of them.
Ted Owens, Norm Stewart, up in the rafters somewhere watching this one, you know, kind of keeping an eye on it. Hey, you got to keep an eye on this Cat Radio sports schedule. We got so much going on. Tomorrow night, Atchison High with Eudora. Saturday, Benedictine and Culver Stockton at 12-2 up in the Nolan Bring a Toy. Tuesday, Atchison Harmon. Wednesday, Benedictine at Park at 5:30 and 7:30. A week from tonight, JC and at Troy. We could keep going on and on, but that'll get you up until the next sports look, which are always brought to you by Habata Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, Petro Convenience Store. For Gus Counts, Tom Counts. So long, everybody.